question on the floor is, where will we find the authority to wage spiritual warfare victoriously?
Dr. Tony Evans says none of us has the clout to take on Satan single-handedly.
If you could only see Jesus, you would see someone who has already won the battle for you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Even people who always wear their seatbelts often rush into spiritual battles without proper protection. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains how to avoid that dangerous mistake.
Satan, we are told, is the prince of this world order. John 12:31 lets us know that he's in charge, and the reason he's in charge is because our friend, our father Adam, who was made a little lower than the angels, and who was told by God, this program can only work by total obedience to me, turned our world over to the evil one. That led to the angelic conflict that was operating in history past to become part of time as man would know it. God, in his grace, resisted Satan's attempts to totally take over. And he did that by allowing his angelic host to wage war in the heavenlies. And all we see happening in the physical realm is but the mimic of what is happening in the spiritual realm. Yet God's plan was being fulfilled even in Adam's failure. Because even though he failed and brought death to the human race, because if you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, dying you shall die. You shall surely die. God was working a plan where still through the lesser man, he would overcome the greater angels. For you have made man a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory. The problem is that we're caught in this battle. We're caught in it in our families. We're caught in it in our personal struggles and lives. We're caught in it when we have to face the reality of sickness, illness, and death. And yet God still holds out this promise that man will rule. That there's coming a time when angels will no longer run this universe. It will no longer be at the whim of the devil and his host, being resisted by Michael the archangel and his host, and we being pawns on this cosmic chessboard. There is coming a time when the lesser will rule the greater. But there was a problem. The problem is, how do we get rid of the curse? Because when our father Adam handed over this world order to Satan in the garden, this world became cursed. And death passed to all men, for in Adam all die. We're introduced to Jesus. The question on the floor is, where will we find the authority to wage spiritual warfare victoriously? That's the question of authority. It is your ability to see Jesus and to understand what you see that will introduce you to authority you never knew possible. If you could only see Jesus, you would see someone who has already won the battle for you. I want you to see three things about Jesus today. First of all, I want you to see the person of Jesus. Then I want you to understand the payment of Jesus. And then I want you to come to live under the position of Jesus. First of all, the person of Jesus. Paul says, and I love this verse, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, now get this, born of a woman, born under the law. God had made a promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. But it would take thousands of years before the seed would come. So God placed in the middle of time a layaway plan. This layaway plan provided temporary relief for sin until it was time for the Savior. And in this layaway plan, it was their way of saying, one day a woman is going to have a baby. who's going to crush Satan's head. It was time for payment. And Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time. That's just a nice way of saying, just when the time was right. When all the conditions were ideal, at the right time, something marvelous took place. You know, a number of things made at the right time. The whole world had now been consolidated under one empire, Rome. Rome had built roads to every major nation in the world so that a traveler could not only take himself and his family, but he could take his message that he wanted to deliver worldwide, because now there was world consolidation under the Roman Empire. It was the perfect time because everybody could speak a common language, Koine Greek, the language of the everyday man, so that difficult things could be understood throughout the whole nation with a common tongue. And the Jews had become the center issue in the Roman Empire. What are we going to do about this Jewish people who keep talking about this coming Messiah in their synagogues? In the fullness of time. Now, don't read verse 4 too fast because you'll miss it. God sent his son, born of a woman. The son was sent, but the baby was born. You see, God had to have a man. But it had to be the kind of man who wouldn't do what Adam did. It would have to be the kind of man who, when faced with the devil one-on-one and faced with the power of God, could choose right. What we needed was a God kind of man. So what God did was he sent his son, born of a woman, in order to reclaim the dominion, hand it back over to the angel Satan, and bring it back to mankind. Now, Satan is no dummy. When Jesus is being born, he lets out all the stops, if you remember the Christmas story. He infiltrates Herod to kill all the babies, two and under, because he knows he now has a problem on his hand. God has thrown the proverbial curveball. He kept defeating men knowing that there would be no man who could handle him. What he didn't bank on was God becoming a man. That was a part of the plan he didn't calculate. That was a gamble that he didn't have on his mind. He said, give me another Adam. I can handle him. Give me Adam Jr. I can handle him. Give me Adam the third. I can handle him. Give me a generation of Adam. You just keep those Adams coming, because there's not a man, God, you can make who can stand against my angelic power, because I was made spirit like you. Who's going to handle me? God says, well, let's try this one. I'll come down and become a man. And God entered into time and space as a man. Satan knew he had a problem, so he tried to kill him. That didn't work because of angelic assistance that led the mother and father out to the protective regions of Egypt. God sent his angels to give direction to keep them from Herod's sword. When killing him wouldn't work, he tried to curse him. He met him in the wilderness one day. And he tried to get him to do what Adam did. What? Act independently of God. Do you remember what Adam was told to do? Eat this fruit. Do you remember what Satan told Jesus? He told Jesus, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Satan's big on food. He tries to use the same tactics he used in the garden to get them to act independently of God. Now, Jesus could have used deity in order to destroy Satan right there in the wilderness, but he couldn't use deity because he had to win it as a man. He couldn't win it just as his deity, because then God promised that it would be the seed of a woman who would win it would not work. So what did he do? Instead of reaching out and pulling out deity, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in order to get the power supply up and working to its full maximum potential. And then he whipped out the word of God and said, it is written. If the first Adam and Eve would have just whipped out the word of God and said, God said, we can't eat out of that tree. But they didn't do it. But this Jesus, who had to win it as a man, withstood him based on the word of God. And at the end of the story, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and when Jesus was victorious, the angels came to help him. He could not just just reach him and pull out deity. So he would do miracles, but he would depend on his father. He would break away for a while, it says, and he would go off to a quiet place to pray. Why does God have to pray? Because he has to win it as a man. Jesus did miracles on earth to demonstrate that he had the right to rule and to challenge Satan based on obedience and dependency on God. And Satan knew what he was all about. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says that Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. So Satan says, okay, we got a little different strategy than I anticipated. God never told me he was going to throw this one at me. So maybe if I get rid of him on the cross, maybe if I get rid of this person on the cross, maybe if I just go at him with all I've got and destroy him, and this is the best that God has got to offer as a man, I'll win it. And so the person of Christ led to the payment of Christ. Colossians 2. In order to conquer Satan, death had to be conquered. You can't conquer Satan until you conquer death, because death is Satan's weapon. Because that is the consequence of sin. So in order to conquer Satan, you got to conquer death. But in order to conquer death, you have to conquer sin. Because it was sin that brought death. And there's only one way to conquer death, and that's through resurrection. So what happens is God assigns Jesus Christ to die, to meet Satan in his realm. Now, you know a brother's bad when he's going to fight you in your house. God says, I will meet him at the place that he owns. He owns death, for you are dead in your trespasses and in your sins. Ephesians 2:1. You are dead. That is where he does his work. He does his work in the cemetery. And that's why men fear death. That's why men are terrified of death, because they know that's the last enemy. And that's an enemy no man at no time, no how, has ever been able to whip. So anybody who can whip death has beaten the biggest, baddest weapon that Satan has to offer. And so Jesus Christ is on Calvary in order to face Satan in his own domain.
In just a moment, Dr. Evans will come back to give us an interesting legal perspective on what Jesus' victory did for us. If you've had a hard time finding evidence of Jesus' victory in your life, you can make the first steps toward change with the help of Tony's brand new book called Warfare. It explains why the toughest problems you face are really spiritual issues that demand spiritual solutions. Tony will shine a revealing light on the devil's tricks and tactics and equip you to start winning victories on battlefields like marriage issues, money problems, even depression or addiction. Request a copy of Warfare right away and we'll send it to you as our gift in appreciation for any contribution you can make toward Tony's ministry. As a bonus, we'll also include his two-volume CD series on spiritual warfare, making this the perfect package to help you dig deeper into this important subject or share it with those in your church or study group. Visit TonyEvans.org today for details on this special offer before time runs out, or call 1-800-800-3222, where the friendly folks in our Resource Center are always on hand to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Tony will come back with more of our message right after this.
The biblical roles of husbands and wives, the source of our authority as believers, understanding the concept of grace, winning spiritual battles, they're all important subjects, but seem as different as night and day. Would it surprise you to know there's a common thread running through all four? You can discover what it is by taking the course on Ephesians in the Tony Evans Training Center. One by one, you'll dig into the powerful themes of this book and make new discoveries about what Jesus' death accomplished, how to maintain unity at home and at church, what spiritual armor is all about. The course includes custom content from Tony, not available anywhere else. Work through it at your own pace. Collaborate with other students. Get your specific questions answered through our online forum. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center at TonyEvans.org. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. Start today, TonyEvans.org.
Look at chapter 2, verse 13. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. God had to deal with the sin problem, and the way he dealt with the sin problem was in the death of Christ. Now read verse 14, the first phrase. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us which were hostile to us. Now that's a deep phrase. The certificate of decrees. Follow me. In Roman law, when you were going to be tried, there had to be proof brought that you had done a crime. When the adequate proof was brought, they would make a certificate of decrees. The certificate of decrees was the list of offenses that you had done. When Jesus was tried by Pilate, Pilate says, I can't find any reason. I don't have enough evidence to convict the man. But the people hollered out, if you don't convict him, you are no friend of Caesar. So on the top of Jesus' cross, in three languages, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, you read these words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. We're going to kill him because he claims to compete with Caesar, saying that Caesar is not the only king. He is saying he's a king too. There's not room for two kings. They did not allow you to compete with the king of Rome. And so we're going to crucify him for treason. But little did Satan know that above the sign on the cross, there was a cosmic blackboard. It had every sin of every man who would ever be born, is born, or who will ever come into existence. All the sin of all the men for all time was on the board. And he comes to near his last breath. And he screams out with a loud voice, Tetelestai. It is finished, paid in full. Everything that you owe God and that I owe God was paid by Jesus Christ. And what did he do? Verse 14 says, he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us which were hostile to us. Why were they hostile to us? Because Satan could always bring them up. He will say, well, you can't do anything with that guy because look at what he did. I got the decree. But whenever Satan goes before God and brings up Tony Evans, Jesus Christ is going to say, but did you see the stamp to tell us that? Paid in full. What Satan didn't count on was that the death of Christ would satisfy the justice of God in such a way that God could keep his love without compromising his holiness. Or to put it another way, Satan was aced by grace. He didn't count on that one. Satan knew about the love of God. Satan knew about the wrath of God. But he hadn't heard a word about the grace of God. That was a whole new dispensation. It was a whole new way. God threw something in on him he didn't count on. And that is God taking the penalty from man so that he could still love sinners, pay for sin, satisfy his wrath, and express his love without compromising his nature. He could do all of that in Christ. Early on Sunday morning, just a little while before day, Mary came to the grave to anoint her Lord. Jesus said, why do you look for the dead among the living? Jesus had arose. Your sin was paid for by the death of Christ. But because Jesus rose from the dead, something else happened according to verse 15. Satan's ammo was deactivated. He took away his weapon. He went into his own house of death. Not only beat him at death because he rose from the dead, he stole the people out of death who were trapped there. And he redeemed us, Galatians 3:13 says, from the curse of the law. That roaring lion had been overcome by the lion of the tribe of Judah. And now he's on a leash. But because we don't know who we are in Christ, we don't know how to relate to him that is against Christ. We've got powerful Christians living powerless lives because we keep kicking the sleeping dog. He keep moving, so we think he's alive. We kick him again. We say, well, that's the devil, and we kick him again, and he keeps moving, and we think he's alive. He's alive and powerful because we make him powerful. Jesus says, I took his weapons. Well, now, we understand the person of Christ. It had to be a man empowered by God. We understand the payment of Christ. He was aced by grace. Finally, if you're going to be victorious in this angelic conflict over Satan, who's still alive, who still intimidates, you're going to have to understand your position in Christ. That's why it doesn't end with the resurrection. Jesus told his disciples, I got to go. I got to leave here. Why must I leave? I have to take and sit on my throne. Why you have to sit on your throne? So that I can run the universe. For now all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ was enthroned by God the Father, and all powers came unto him, including the power of demons. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 21 and 22 says Jesus Christ sits over all authority as head of the church. All authority belongs to him. Satan has been rendered powerless. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15 says. But what the beautiful thing is that the Bible declares we have been raised with him. He not only sits enthroned, we sit enthroned with him. We must understand our position in Christ. And we must now exercise authority under his authority. Now this is where the key comes. You can't beat Satan with your authority because you don't have any. We have been raised in Christ. We have been seated in Christ. We're in heavenly places with Christ. It is not your authority. It is his authority that you use. If you don't learn to use the authority of Christ, you can't beat the one Satan beat. Satan knows he can handle your power because you don't have any when it compares with angels. He knows he can handle you, but he knows he can't handle Christ. So the strategy of the devil is to keep you from living your life in Christ. Because as long as you are dissected from Christ, the power of God will not be shared with you. In order for you to have authority, you must first be under authority. And the reason why we have so many powerless Christians is because they don't have authority, because they're not functioning in their Christian life under authority.
Dr. Tony Evans, reminding us to connect with God's authority if we want to see spiritual victory. If you'd like to get a full-length copy of this message, check with us for details on the lesson called The Basis of Authority. And it's just one part of Tony's 12-lesson series on spiritual warfare, a collection that'll equip you to fight back against the devil's efforts to destroy you by using God's power instead of your own. Don't forget, you can get this important 2-volume series on CD as our thank you gift when you help keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount, but only for a limited time. Along with it, you'll get that brand new book I told you about earlier, Warfare. Request it today through our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, open day and night to help you. Or make the arrangements online at tonyevans.org. While you're there, check to see when Tony might be coming to a city near you this fall for a great event called Without Walls. You'll get to hear his powerful preaching in person and enjoy worship with his son, Anthony. Learn more and get tickets online at tonyevans.org. We often pray to God to help us get out of difficult situations or circumstances. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about the kind of prayer that can help us avoid them altogether. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.